Thank you and good morning. Last week, we began talking about some things parents can do to raise their children to be Christians in a wicked world. Sometimes we talk about how it is more difficult now to raise children in the ways of the Lord than it was for our parents. We talk about how sinful things are more readily available to our children than they were for us. We may even give the impression that it is impossible for our young people to grow up and live holy lives in this wicked environment in which we live. Well, it is true, we live in a wicked world with many sinful enticements, and it may be more difficult now to live right than it was 40 or 50 years ago. But let me remind you that this is not the first time people had to raise children in a wicked environment. Look with me in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Well, this was in the days of Noah before the flood came. It indeed was a very wicked world in which he lived. But when Noah entered the ark, he took his three sons with him and their wives. You know, if Noah was here today, he would tell us it is possible to raise children to be servants of God in a wicked world. It can be done. Last week we mentioned four things parents can do. Number one, parents can teach them the Word of God. We can teach it to them not just by taking them to church services, but teach it to them when they rise up every morning, when we're riding along with them in the car, before they go to bed at night. We also mentioned we are to teach them the Word of God with a goal in mind. That goal is for them to love and obey God. As we teach and show them God's love and justice, we help motivate in their hearts a love and reverence for God. We mentioned that we can teach them to prepare for the realities of life by allowing them to experience what we might see as the little bumps and bruises and hurts that they will face as they are growing up. You see, when we allow our children to always have their way, when we give them whatever they want, when we try to shield them from every disappointment or hurt, we're doing our children a great disservice. What we're doing is spoiling them, and a spoiled child rarely does well in life. And fourthly, we mentioned we can communicate to them that serving God is their number one priority. When conflicts arise between secular activities and the Lord's service, we must show them that the Lord's service always comes first. And then fifthly, to raise children in a wicked world, parents can set a good example before their children. You know, every child needs to be able to say of mother and dad are the best Christians I know. Now, that doesn't mean sinless perfection. Our children know our flaws, they know our weaknesses, but they need to know that mom and dad are genuine, that they are really trying to serve the Lord. When mom and dad do wrong, the children need to see them humbly repent and say, I'm sorry. You see, that's what Christians do. Through the way the parents live their lives, they are showing their children how to be Christians. Jesus says that disciples are a light to the world in Matthew 5, verse 14. We are to let our light shine, and that light never shines brighter than it does before our children. Let them see what it is like to be a genuine Christian. Let your children see you getting up your Bible lessons for Bible class. It doesn't make any sense if you tell them to get up their Bible lessons and you don't get up yours. Let them hear you pray. Let them hear you give thanks at the dinner table. Set a good example of attending worship periods of the church. If they see you miss for something you want to do, then don't be surprised if they ask to miss church services for something they want to do. Children tend to walk in the footsteps of their parents. What about it, mothers, fathers? Do you want your children to grow up to be like you? What will their language be like? What about their morals? How will they treat their mates? I don't know who wrote the following, but it illustrates the point we're trying to make. It was written evidently 40 or 50 years ago, and I have edited it some. It's entitled, "It's Okay, Son." When caught for speeding one day, Johnny saw his dad give the policeman a $5 bill with his driver's license. "It's okay, son," the father said as they drove away. "Everyone does it." When Johnny was 8 years old, he watched his Uncle George fudge on his income tax return. "It's okay," the uncle said. "Everyone does it." When Johnny was 12, he broke his glasses through carelessness, and his Aunt Frances persuaded the insurance company the glasses were stolen and collected $27. "It's okay," she said. "Everyone does it." On the football team at 15, the coach showed Johnny how to block the opponent and grab the shirt illegally at the same time. "It's okay," the coach said. "Everyone does it." When Johnny was 16, he took his first summer job at the market. His assignment was to put the overripe or half-rotten tomatoes at the bottom of the basket and the good ones on the top. "It's okay, lad," the manager said. "Everyone does it." When Johnny was 18, he and a neighbor boy applied for a scholarship in college. Johnny was a marginal student, and his friend was in the upper 3% of his class, but couldn't play football near as well as Johnny. Johnny got the scholarship. "It's okay, Johnny. Everyone does it." When Johnny was 19, he was approached by an upperclassmate who offered the final test answers for $10. "It's okay," he said. "Everyone does it." Johnny was caught and sent home in disgrace. "How in the world could you do this to your mother and me?" the father said. "You couldn't have gotten these ideas from home." The aunt and uncle were likewise indignant. If there's anything the adult world can't stand, it's guys who cheat. Many a Johnny is wandering around in this world waiting on someone to come up and say that old familiar line one more time. "It's okay, Johnny. Everyone does it." Well, remember, your children are watching. You can live a good example before them. And number 6, parents can reinforce their teaching with corrective discipline. This is one of our most unpleasant and yet very important duties as a parent. It would be great if raising children only involved ball games, baking cookies together, and daily family devotions. The problem is that sometimes our children do the wrong thing. Everyone's children do the wrong thing at times. The important thing is that we respond in the right way. The Old Testament judge Eli did not respond in the right way. His sons were evil and he did not restrain them, it says in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13. Now, I don't think that the problem was that Eli was okay with their evil. He clearly wasn't. Read 1 Samuel 2, verses 22 through 25. He just didn't respond in the right way. He didn't step in and put a stop to this evil behavior. As a result, his sons did horrible things and ultimately brought God's judgment against his house. The right way to respond to the bad behavior of our children is with correction. When my child does wrong, I, first of all, need to acknowledge that his behavior is wrong. I know it's hard sometimes to admit when our children are wrong. It embarrasses us, makes us feel like a failure. But if we defend our children when they are wrong, it's then we will be a failure. Proverbs 29 verse 17 says, "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." So get over it. Accept the fact that your child has messed up and start fixing it. And then second, I need to teach my children that their behavior is wrong. Sometimes children do the wrong thing because they don't know better. When this is the case, they need instruction. For example, little children have to be taught to share their toys and say thank you. And then thirdly, when they have been taught and know better and still do wrong, I need to punish them. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, fathers are told to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word training in this verse is defined by W.E. Vine as denoting the training of a child, including instruction, hence discipline, correction, chastening. And so this word includes instructing the child what is right and wrong. But notice, it also includes correcting, chastening. This involves the administering of punishment when they do wrong. It is up to the parents to teach their children that crime does not pay. When you do bad things, there are consequences. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Also in Proverbs 13 verse 24, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Punishment, including corporal punishment, is a part of disciplining children. You know, there are times when spankings are appropriate. Spanking is the administering of pain to appropriate parts of the child's body for the purpose of changing the child's behavior. It is part of training a child. It is both biblical and effective. I want my children to learn that bad behavior does not pay. If I don't teach it to them, someone who does not love them like I do will teach it to them. It may be a boss or a landlord or a police officer or a judge. And then fourthly, I need to reinforce my love. Discipline should always be driven by love for your children, not out of anger over their offenses. Be careful about this. Say the words, "I love you." Make sure they understand that you're imposing the punishment because you love them and want them to have a great life and go to heaven. It's hard to argue with that. And then fifthly, be a grown-up, be a parent. Children aren't going to like discipline. Who does? They may get angry with you. Some parents are intimidated by this possibility and back away from giving children the correction they need. Well, we need to get over that, or we will end up hurting our children, and they will hurt us. Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Because I am my children's dad, sometime I have to do things that they don't like. That is a part of being a parent. They will get over it and learn from it. Well, for the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about what parents can do to raise their children to be Christians in a wicked world. Some parents may think it is a lost cause because of the many evil influences to which our children are exposed. But it is possible to raise them to be Christians. The Bible teaches us that we need to teach them the Word of God, teach them to love God, help them to prepare for the ups and downs of life, communicate to them that serving God is their number one priority, set a good example before them, and reinforce your teaching with corrective discipline. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address, and we would be glad to send it to you. We could send you an audio CD of the program or a written transcript. Just let us know what program you desire by giving us the title of the program and tell us whether or not you want an audio CD of the program or a written transcript or both. There are three ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.